I would like to ask that you'd pray for me as I stand before you for a little while this morning. I believe that I have worshiped God already today. I pray you feel the same, for that's one way that we do that, is in song and in prayer. What I have had on my mind is sound the trumpet. There are many things said about trumpets in the scriptures, and some of them are difficult to understand the reason why. And I would like to go through many of them, and yet each one of these times that I'm going to tell you about probably needs a whole sermon to get all of it out of each instance. If you'll recall, God had brought the children of Israel out of bondage from being enslaved in Egypt after 400 years. And the Bible repeats this phrase. It said, "With a mighty hand have I delivered you." He delivered them out, and they crossed the Red Sea, and they came to Mount Sinai. And I'd like to read this. It's found in Exodus chapter 19. And verse 9. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with them, and believe thee, may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." Sanctify means get ready. Prepare yourself for a specific thing. "And be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." That sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? A beast that touches it will be killed, even. A beast can't. You know, you tell a beast, have you ever told your dog to do something, not to do something, he did it anyway? Because he don't listen to you. Beasts don't listen to people. But God's serious about His commandments. And not only the beast but that didn't understand, but the people that did, don't come up here. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down. You go down again. You charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. I want you to, and he goes on and on. This sounding of the trumpet is the first sound of the trumpet that's ever heard. And this trumpet was not a trumpet that man made. This was God's trumpet. This was God's voice. I want you to get the picture that all the children of Israel are hearing what Moses is telling them, that God said, Don't come to this mountain lest you be killed. And then he told them that on the first day. And you sanctify, because God's going to talk to you. And they come and they wash their clothes and they're sanctifying themselves and getting ready for this big announcement that God's got when he meets with them. And they come to the nether parts of the mount. That means they didn't go up to the mount. They could see the mount, but they weren't on the mount. You understand? And then thunder happens, and cloud comes down, and fire comes down, and thunder. I mean, the voice of the trumpet sounded, and it wasn't just a trumpet sound that just lasted for a minute. This trumpet sound was a loud sound. It was have y'all ever watched a soccer match? Have y'all ever seen soccer on TV? Like a professional soccer. You know those that they have? They're called a vuvuzela. Okay? Those are the most loud things that I know of. And they sound constantly throughout the game. And it's real deafening and kind of irritating to me. But I'm telling you that this sound of a trumpet, it when God blows it, it blows louder and louder and louder and louder. And I can just see the people of the Israelites at the foot of the mountain being trembling with fear because of what they saw and heard and the voice of the trumpet. I can just see them there. And God had not spoken yet. He had was just sounding the trumpet now. And these people quaked and feared in their boots, and I would too. And the reason why God sounded that trumpet was so that all of Israel would know that I am in control. I am your God. Hear me. This first sound of the trumpet was at the giving of the Ten Commandments. Then God tells in Numbers, I'm going to have to move on. God tells Moses, he says, you make two, this is in Numbers 10 and 2. The word of the Lord came to Moses saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. So God sounded a trumpet and He told Moses to make two trumpets of silver, of one piece. Now, the trumpets that we have today are made out of a bunch of different kind of pieces, and they have the three little things. This is more like a bugle, or like a long piece made out of one. It don't look like our trumpets that we have in the band today, right? So he says, you make them and these, and it goes on, but these trumpets had a specific purpose that they blew them for, and one of them was to assemble. One of them was to move. You know, when the journeyings of the camp, when they sounded a trumpet, they were to assemble themselves and gather together. And another sound that the trumpet made was for them to move. Pick up your tents and take up your stakes and we're going from here. And another one was to alarm, to war. When they gave sounded the trumpet for, and I don't know what the sound was, but the sound was that there's a war coming and you assemble yourselves for this purpose. One of the soundings was for gladness. Do you know? That's wonderful. You sound a trumpet when you're glad. And also for a memorial. Now, was for gladness at the appointed day and time. Now, he says in Numbers 10 and 10, without going through a bunch of it, he says, also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days. Now, the Bible use of solemn doesn't necessarily fix with our use of solemn. Solemn in the Bible means at the appointed day and at the appointed time. A solemn feast wasn't necessarily a feast that you ate with your head down in sackcloth and ashes. You know, it wasn't that you were sad during these days, but it was an appointed time and an appointed day. And God was serious about His feast days and His worship, so He had appointed days and times that they were to blow these trumpets, and they were to do it with gladness. So He says that also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings. Not that you did the offering. You know, Jesus says, don't be as those that blow trumpets when they offer something. You see? To call attention to yourself. That's not the reason why you give your alms, is for other people, you know, blow a trumpet when you give alms. Look, now how silly is this? Now they did this in Jesus' day. They blew the trumpet so that everybody would get their everybody's attention, saying, I'm about to give something to the church and I want everybody to know, or give something, an offering to the temple, and I want everybody to know how much I'm giving so that I could draw attention to myself. God said, originally, you do these, you blow these over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you a memorial before your God. Not to other people, but to you. You remember why you're doing this. You take note yourself, not other people. You take note yourself why you're doing this, and it's a memorial before your God. He says, I am the Lord your God. God said, you do this for me, and you do this for you. You don't do this for everybody else. And that's a great understanding when we talk about giving to the church and giving to the ministry. You don't do it so that everybody else can see it. You do it because God is your God, and it's also a memorial for you. Now, that's all I want to say about that. They were to blow the trumpets at the year of Jubilee. Now, y'all know what the year of Jubilee is? It's the 50th year. They were to cause the trumpet of the... This is in Leviticus 25 and 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And they were supposed to blow it also at their new year. And that's in Numbers 29 and 1. And in the 7th month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have an holy convocation. That means a holy assembly. Ye shall do no servile work. It is the day of blowing the trumpets unto you. I kind of get the feeling that trumpets are really important in the Old Testament, don't you? I get the feeling that God's serious about these trumpet blowing. He says, you blow them at the feast days of the appointed time. You blow them in the first year, the new year. You blow them in the 50th year on the day, on the year of Jubilee. And I'm telling you that the year of Jubilee, well, let me talk about the new year first. Their new year was in the 7th month. It was in the harvest time after the last gatherings in had come. Okay? And it was the beginning of kind of the civil year. And do you know, solemn, and it was a solemn feast. Do you know, what is another word for the sun? It's sol or solener. Solemn. It's kind of where we get that word from. It was based on the new moons, and their feast and all were based on all that stuff. And it gets real complicated. And I'm glad that I'm not bound to all of those things. I'm glad that I've got freedom in Christ today, that all that stuff has been fulfilled in Him, and that I don't have to keep all and remember all of those things, because it gets so complicated that you couldn't even work. It'd be hard to work if you're trying to keep all of it straight. Now, the new year. It is a tradition of the Jews that this new year was celebrated as really commemorative of the creation of God. It's their tradition that God created the world around this time of year. This is when it is. The 7th month for them would be around September and October. Around this time of year, their tradition is that God created the earth. And they think that that's why this is the new year in the 7th month. It's a civil new year. I don't understand all about it. I just know that that's what all the... That's it. Now, remember the year of Jubilee. You got sevens in the Bible, 49 years that you buy and sell and get gain, and you sell people and servants and all that, and you buy other people's possessions and lands and all that stuff. But in the year of Jubilee, they were to blow the trumpet, and it was a great year of Jubilee. They were supposed to take every man his possession back, right? And it reset everything. Now that was a one, and they did that every 50 years. And I think probably it would be great for our country if we had a year of Jubilee and set it back to the original founding. But I'm not getting into that. It's probably smart because God knows how we are. Now, but this year of Jubilee was not, I mean, it was a thing that was a great blessing to the children of Israel. Because if you bought some property because you got in a tight and needed some money, in the year of the Jubilee, it would be returned to you. Debts paid. Property returned. Servants released. I tell you what, I love that, don't you? But I don't love it because I'm a Jew. I love it for what it points to. It points, I'm getting ahead of myself again, that year of Jubilee points to the last trump. Now, I tell you what, this seventh month had the Day of Atonement in it. Did y'all know that? The 10th day of the month, they were supposed to, they'd start that feast and Day of Atonement, and all that was in this month. So this was a very special year that they were to blow the trumpets. And it was with gladness. And it was on a specific day and a specific time, and all the people were gathered together. Y'all know about Joseph, don't you? Y'all remember how important a trumpet was to Joseph? Remember? Joshua. I said Joseph, I meant Joshua. Y'all know Joshua? He was the one that took over after Moses. God took Moses and buried him after he led the people across the Jordan River, crossing Jordan. And they went and they were going to subdue the land. And they come up to this city called Jericho. And y'all remember what happened? That city was a walled city, fortified. All the inhabitants in there. And this goes into Rahab and all that stuff. But I told you, there's a whole sermon in it, or more than one. But the fact is that he told them to go around to get all the... Joshua told them, you tell all the people of Israel to gather themselves and in a company, and you walk around the walls of Jericho, and you don't sound a word. You don't say a word. Now, can you imagine? It'd be hard for us in this place to not say a word for 7 days to each other, wouldn't it? It'd be real hard for me. But God said, don't you say a word. You march around that city one time per day. And on the seventh day, you march around seven times, and when you get done, blow the trumpet, and every one of the children of Israel are to give a shout at the blowing of the trumpet. And did you know that's what they did? And do you know what happened? The walls of Jericho come tumbling down, the way the song says, and they did, and they fell out flat, and Israel took the city. You know they didn't fight that battle, did they? God did. How did he do it? He did it with the blowing of the trumpet, and his power, and the shout of God, and shout of his people. I tell you, what a wonderful thing to witness the power of God in destroying enemies. And you didn't have anything to do with the fight. God did it. Pulling down strongholds. Another way the Bible puts it. But there's a time to shout, folks. And the time to shout is when the trumpet blows. And what about Gideon? Y'all remember Gideon, don't you? Gideon was a leader of Israel. And he told Gideon, Gideon, you get me up some people because you're going to go out and fight. Gideon, you choose men for me. And so I think he chose, I don't know, a couple thousand, 5,000 at first. And God whittled them down to 300. Because the armies of Midian had gathered themselves in the valley. And, I mean, if you've never, I've never seen it. Armies in a valley setting themselves, preparing for battle against you. I've never seen that in reality. I mean, with swords and stuff, spears and stuff like that, guns. I've never seen that personally. But it would be a very distressing circumstance, wouldn't it? And all these, this army of the Midianites was down there, and Gideon was afraid, and God called him and said, You get up some people. And he said, started out with a bunch of people, and God said, that's too many, son. We need less, not more. And so he says, out of all of them that lap the water like a dog, and you know, and you get rid of them, and you because dog looks down when he drinks, and he said, all those that bring the water up here, they got their eyes fixed outward instead of looking downward. The ones that are perceptive and the ones that see, those are the ones that you call. And it ended up only being 300. And God told Gideon, he said, all you do, Gideon, is you tell them folks, you give them trumpets. And you give them a pitcher. And you put a candle in that pitcher. And you tell them, you spread them out all around the Midianites. And you say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And when you say that, every man's going to break his, or when they sound the trumpet, you break that pitcher and tell them all to blow the trumpet. Tell them all 300 of them to blow the trumpet. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And that's what they did. They broke their pitchers. And I can see those Midianites down there. And this was at night. All the Midianites down there, they were sleeping. See? They were in battle array, but they were sleeping. And then when they heard the people of God give the shout and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and blow the trumpets, that they were discombobulated. If you know what that means. They were confused. And they woke up and they started killing each other. And so God delivered Israel that day by the sound of a trumpet. Isn't that wonderful? Trumpets are important. Then we see that this is also, the trumpet is also used to show the people of God their sins. He says in Isaiah 58 and 1, cry aloud, Isaiah, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. This is also for the watchmen and the people. You can turn here if you want to, Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Remember how important these trumpets are. He says, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, not if. If the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He's responsible for his own self, because the trumpet alarm was blown and he did not heed. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Y'all get that? That means if I see something as a watchman over the flock, and I don't sound a trumpet, and one of the members gets taken, it's on me. Y'all understand, this isn't just talking about a watchman over the land back in that day. This is talking about ministers of the gospel blowing the gospel trumpet. That's what that is. You know, I've heard, that's what got me on this. I've heard said about the gospel trumpet for years. Have y'all? In sermons and prayers? I've heard people talk about the gospel trumpet. I even think there's a paper that is put out as the gospel trumpet. You know, it's not found in the Bible, but I tell you what, it's all in it. The gospel trumpet. That phrase is not mentioned. But I tell you, the gospel is to gather the people. It is to sound an alarm. It is to declare that this is the new year and the Day of Atonement. It is to declare that the year of Jubilee is come. I tell you what. This trumpet is for clarity and truth. Turn to chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You know, Paul was talking about speaking in tongues and unknown tongues and all that. And he's talking about doing that in church, in the assembly. And Paul says, makes the statement here, I would that ye, in verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. That's the purpose of anything that's gone on in the church, is to edify it. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life, there's no life in a trumpet, is there? Even it takes life to blow it, but there's no life in the trumpet. Remember that. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? Now Paul is saying that this gospel trumpet is not a mix of works and grace. It's not a mix of any other thing. It is something that is distinct. It's clear. It's understood by everybody there. It's not like an unknown tongue that one person interprets in one way, one person interprets another, somebody else doesn't understand it. No, my friends, when the gospel trumpet is sounded, everybody understands what it says. And it ought to be delivered with clarity and with boldness and with great volume, because it's worthy to be blown. Now, that's not it. Did you know that remember, God blew the trumpet. Now this is God's voice now. And then we've got in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, and John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And so God got John's attention with a trumpet, didn't he? But I don't know what that trumpet sounds like, but I know that God can sound it long and loud. I tell you, that's impressive to me. And did you know the whole reason why they gave those sounds of the trumpet was to get people's attention? It was to call their attention to something. And I tell you, John wasn't the only one that heard the trumpet. God, and God's not the only one that's got one. are the only one that's going to sound it. Did you know the seven angels were given seven trumpets? Did y'all know that in Revelation? You keep on reading. And do you know that when they sounded a trumpet, plagues come upon this land. Pestilence. And there's three woes in there. The woes are harder than the other things. Just read about it. Because God will get the attention of people. And when the angel blows a trumpet, I tell you what, it's something. Then I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and finish up. Turn the page. Two pages, maybe, in your Bible. The Apostle Paul talks about Adam being earthy and Christ being heavenly, and all those that are represented by Adam are earthy. All those represented by Christ are heavenly. And he says, as we have in 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. He's not just saying this is mysterious. He's saying, I'm showing you this. This is what's going to happen. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. There's a last trump. Did you know that God sounded the first trump, and God's going to sound the last trump? Amen? God's going to sound the last trump, and when He does, and the trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I tell you what, this shout of a trumpet is a victory shout. This sounding of the trumpet, just like it was in all the other places, was to bring attention and for the gathering of all the assembly. And I tell you that this is the great trumpet. This is the great assembly. And it's, to me, it's the last time that it'll be blown. It's the last trump. And for the last gathering, for the last jubilee, for the last for the last moving of Israel, for the last moving of God's people, because we're going to move from this earth to glory. We're going to journey from here to there, and He's going to lead us, He's going to take us, and we're going to meet Him up in the air, and what a great journey that's going to be. And I tell you, when that last trump sounds, it's going to raise the dead. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God. All the dead are going to be raised. And I tell you, you talk about a powerful voice and long and loud trumpet. I don't think it's just going to go and be over. No. It's going to come. It's going to be long and loud, so that all the earth will know God was real. Uh-oh. And some of them are going to say, come quickly, Lord. I'm ready to go on my journey. I'm ready for the year of Jubilee. Bring thy ransomed sinners home. It's time. And not only is God going to give a shout, Christ, I believe every one of His children are going to shout, because the year of Jubilee is here. What a blessing. sound the trumpet in Mount Zion. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.